recording this for the people that can't attend, and I'd love to still hear from a lot of you. I know sometimes you might be reluctant to speak if you know you're being recorded, but as the call goes on, I'd like to hear from you. Now, we're going to do that the way we have in the past, which is right now I'm going to put you all on mute. But I get to hear from you because I can unmute any of you individually, or I can either by just calling on you, or if you raise your hand, that'll let me know that you want to be called on. So you can do that at any time during this call by hitting *61, and then I know you want to speak. I'll see it on my computer. I see all your numbers right now, and you see a lot more people checked in since I started the check-in process. I'll hear from many of you as this call progresses, but given that it's about time management, I want to get right to work here. I want to get right into the topic because when I reviewed our other calls, I noticed sometimes I spent a little bit too much time just saying hello and explaining how this call is going to work. Since this is the third call for most of you in this series, and for many of you who've also participated in our other series, you know how this works. I do want to remind you, though, that I'd like you to take notes. Please have paper and a pen or a pencil, because I want you to create the visuals for this call so that you can take the ideas that I present, write down the ones that you like, don't write down the ones that you don't like, and then you have increased your memory because you have written. Also, I'm going to give you several opportunities during this call to pause and write about how you now manage your time and your tasks, and then how you intend to change and manage your time and tasks so you really get more of what you want in life. That's the purpose of this call, is for you to get more of what really lights you up. So please give this call your undivided attention. I ask that you not listen to it while you're driving, even the recording. Now, if it's the second time through and you want to remind yourself, all right, then you can drive and listen. But really, this first time, either while you're participating live right now or while the first time you're listening to it, please give it your undivided attention and interact with me. Last time, for the first time, I gave several of you my iChat address. This is my instant messaging address. Those of you who do this through either America Online or AOL, through AOL or through the iChat on Apple computers, you can get me at DaveEllis3@mac.com. Or you can send me a text on my cell phone. That number is 415-497-2785. So during this call, you can instant message me with your comments, you can text me, or you can email me at dave@fallingawake.com. Or you can just raise your hand with your *61 and I'll call on you. The purpose of this call is to assist you to be much more effective in your life, and particularly your life as a leader, whether you're leading in your family or your community, whether you're leading in the political system or in government or in an organization, whether you're in a for-profit or non-profit, whether you're leading around your friends. All of those are leadership positions. And I now ask that you use this time together to improve your leadership dramatically by improving how you manage your time and your tasks. As I mentioned, these calls are part of a 3-day leadership training that I'm doing October 26th through the 28th. That's in less than 2 weeks from now. There's still room. And if you'd like to attend that, please call Joanne Bangs. I gave you a different number last week, but I want to give you Joanne's. It's 605-390-2275. So please be in touch with her if there's some interest that you have. Now, for several of you on this call, you've already signed up, and I want to remind you, for those of you who are going to attend the workshop, we have another call just like this in 1 week from tonight. It'll be a very important call. One of the purposes of that call is to make sure you've gotten your homework done. So if you have signed up for the workshop and if you haven't started your homework yet, please be sure and jump into that right now. And also make certain that you're in touch with the coach that has been assigned to you, because everybody that comes to the workshop has 2 hours of one-on-one coaching before the workshop and 2 hours after. So if you're listening to this call live or the recording, make sure that you do that homework very soon and be in touch with your coach. All right, well, I want to get right to time and tasks, but I'm going to divide them into two sections. Now, when I was preparing again for teaching time management, which I've taught for 25 years, and preparing again to teach task management, I realized how similar they are. So that the ideas I have for time management, which is where I'm going to start, are similar to task management, but it's enough different that I wanted to break them into two pieces. You'll see how they can come together by the end of this call. My best idea for managing your time and my best idea for managing your tasks is right here. Drum roll. Here it comes. This is my very best idea. Be sure and write this one down, which is take it on. Really, just take it on. So many people complain about that they can't manage their time well, but they've never taken it on. Other people complain that they have too much to do. They've got tasks here, tasks there. They don't know what to do next. They're too often spending time on low priorities. Well, take it on. In other words, have your time devoted to managing your time. Have that be your A-plus time. Now, of course, people say, well, I don't have any time to manage my time. Well, it reminds me of the guy out trying to cut down a forest of trees, and he's on a deadline, and he says, I just don't have time to stop and sharpen my axe. Well, I mean, you all know that it's tough to cut a tree with a dull axe. It's hard to cut anything with a dull knife. You stop and sharpen your knife, and the job goes much faster. And I believe that managing your time and having a system to manage it is just like taking the time to sharpen your tool. So that's my first and best suggestion, is take it on. And take on setting up a system, and then, of course, working the system. Well, I've got a lot more ideas, and we're going to start now with time management. I really like this whole concept of managing time, because I think it's the most valuable commodity we have. And when we realize that, I think it's more likely that we will spend that valuable commodity figuring out how to use that valuable commodity. And people spend all kinds of time managing their money. But I know for all of you, your time is way more valuable than your money. And for everybody I've ever talked to, their time is more valuable than their money, but yet they spend a lot of time figuring out how they're going to spend their money and very little time figuring out how to spend their time. Now, the unique thing about time as opposed to money is you can't save it. It's a unique resource in that regard as compared to all other resources. Most resources, whether it's grain or food or money, anything that's really valuable, like food's valuable to us, but we can store it up, but not money. And then not only can you store food or store money, but you can spend it at a variable rate. You can spend a lot when you've got a lot, and a little when you got a little. But time, of course, you spend it all at the same rate. It's an equal opportunity resource. Everybody, no matter what their race, their gender, their religion, they all have 168 hours of it a week. No matter how wealthy or poor they are, no matter what class they grew up in, no matter what country, we all have exactly the same amount. And it's the most valuable thing we have. Now, for that reason, I think it makes sense to set up a time management system. And here's three steps to do it. Step one is to notice what you now use. Notice your current time management system. I'm going to give you a chance to do that in a minute. That's step one. Step two is create your own time management system. So you've got one now. Maybe you created it. Maybe you just inherited it. Maybe it's you don't even realize you have one, but I think you'll realize it in a minute. Once you realize whatever you're doing now, recreate or create one that's set for you. And I've got a lot of ideas there. Step three is to then test your system. Whatever time, however you start to manage your time and you decide, okay, I'm going to do it this way, then do it and test it. Then return to step one to start over again, to notice now what are you using, and then recreate it, and then step three, test it, and then step four, return to step one and do it all over again. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth spending a lot of energy and a lot of time on figuring out the very best use of you. Well, first of all, let's go to step one then and notice what is your current time management system. In a minute, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to have you write down a few notes describing how you currently manage your time. Because whether you consciously have one or not, I know you have one. Well, here's some possible ways that people manage their time. So you can listen here and see if any of these fit for you, and then I'll be quiet while you write down how you think you now do it. But here's some options. First of all, block it out. A lot of people do this. They just block out their day or their week or even their year. They say, okay, these hours I'm going to work, and these hours I'm not. These hours I'm going to be generous and give to others. These hours I'm going to set aside time just for me. These hours I'm at work, I'm going to make phone calls, and these hours I'm going to be in a meeting, and these hours I'm going to set up projects. So people block out their time. Some people even, as I mentioned, block out their entire year. They say, okay, well, this month I'm going to mostly be on vacation, whereas this month I'm going to mostly work on writing this book. This month, I'm going to mostly work on reorganizing my company. This month, I'm going to mostly devote to family and or these, you know, maybe it's not months, it's weeks. But anyway, that's the block it out system. Another kind of system that people use is the react. Just something happens and you spend time on it. You don't really, it looks like you're not planning. It looks like it's not a management system, but it really is. It's the management system called I'm just going to react. Something occurs, I'll spend time on it. Something else occurs, I'll spend time on that. So you're really just responding to others, and that's how you manage. Or some people have a time management system, which I call surrender. They just do what somebody else tells them. When they're at work, they spend their time the way their boss tells them or their manager. When they're at home, they spend their time how their spouse tells them, or how their friends tell them, or how their kids tell them. They just surrender. Another possible way is desire. There's no pre-planning. There's no thoughtful looking. It's just moment to moment. What do I want to do right now? Another way is obligation. Like, what should I do? What do I have to do? What must I do? Another time management system is intention. That is, many times a week you step back, even many times a day you step back and you ask yourself, how do I want to spend the next block of time so I'll be most likely to achieve my goals and follow my values? So those are the different kinds of systems that I know about. Of course, you're probably a mix, but I want to stop now and ask all of you, whether you're listening to the recording or live, make some notes. Write about how you currently manage your time. You block it out, you react, you surrender. You just go by desire, you go by obligation, you go by intention. Please write 45 seconds. Then I'm going to hear from you. Start now. right. Now, would several of you either send me an email if you don't want to speak? I got several of those last time. Or text me. Or raise your hand. Actually, I'd love to hear from a few of you so that we can all hear a couple examples. Go ahead. Go ahead, say your name and where you're calling from.
Dave, this is Sonia from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, Sonia.
And I really resonated with me when you said react. I'm a school principal, and I spend most of my day at work in the react mode to students, parents, teachers, and it's a very frustrating place for me to be because I have a lot of things that are also obligations that end up getting done at night. Because I am in that react, I manage my time, and it was very helpful for you to put it that way. It was an aha, because that is exactly the issue when I'm at work.
Thanks, Sonia.
At home, though, it's a combination of desire and obligation.
Yeah. Well, now, this is good. Thanks for bringing this up, because I hadn't really thought of it that you all have ways that you do it at work and then ways you do it at home, and they might be different. Good job, Sonia. Thanks for pointing that out. And now that you see how you do it, I think it'll be easier to change it.
Good. I hope so.
All right. Next person. Go ahead and say your name and where you're calling from.
This is Manju from Portland, Oregon. I found that I do more of intention planning, but when the day goes on, I go with the flow, I include desire, reaction, or obligation, but I start with the intention and then I let it go and follow, other systems during the day.
Yes. Thanks, Manju, because I think just like Sonia said, we all have a couple of different systems, but like primarily for Sonia at work, it was just react. But for you, you see that you have several different systems. You do the intention, and then you also follow your desire and other systems. Thanks, Manju. We've got another. Go ahead and say your name and where you're calling from.
This is Pam from Rapid City.
Hi, Pam.
Hi. I realized that I was a mix of blocking it out, which I'm very good at, and intention. And a gigantic light bulb went off for me because I really do live purpose to purpose. But that also then means that I need to do a better job of intending to have fun and intending to increase my joy for my system to really work for me.
Yeah. Great. Well, so what Pam's doing already is what I am asking all of you to do on this call, which is now that you start to see how you do it, now begin a list of how you plan to do it differently. And what I'm recommending is that you create a system that has all of those pieces in it. And you leave out none. That you have intention. I mean, that's the piece that I recommend be the bedrock of your management systems, whether it's time or tasks. That you, many times a week, even a few times a day, step back and look at the big picture and say, how do I want to spend my life? And you intentionally choose, and you choose based on what's most important to you. What are your values? What are your core values and your purpose? And you choose based on your most important goals. But you be the chooser. And then, of course, you also block out time. Yes. And then once in a while, of course, you just react. And then once in a while, you surrender to others. I think it's a great time management technique. I like to do it. Often, on Saturday, I went out with my daughter and son-in-law and his parents and my new granddaughter and my wife. And before we left, both Trish and I said, we're just going to surrender to Rob. He's got the day. We're going to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Because he's our son-in-law, and he told us he wanted to give us a day. And so, yes, we just surrender. And then, of course, sometimes you put in desire. I do a lot of intentional planning, and then I lay out everything that I want to do for the day, and I let my desire lead. I look and say, okay, now, those are all the things I plan to do today. What do I want to do the most? And I just pick that one. And you might even have a little obligation in your time management system, but I'd like to see if you can't eliminate as much of that as possible, because when creating a system, my first idea is to create freedom. That's my, now I'm going to present to you about a dozen strategies for what I recommend you put into your system. And then, of course, I'm going to want to hear from you as to what you want to add. But my most important of these dozen or so strategies is to have a time management system. When you're creating your system, create one that gives you freedom. See, I think if you're managing your time, if you've got some system and you feel constrained by it or you feel obligated to it, then I don't think you've got a good time management system. Because then you've got a system that's managing you instead of you managing your time. So freedom is a system that allows you to experience your internal locus of control. In other words, you know you're choosing. Now, you say, well, yeah, but what if I schedule an appointment? Then I get to the appointment and I don't want it anymore. Then renegotiate the appointment. But notice when you blocked in that appointment that you blocked it in. People say, no, my boss made me. Well, yeah, but you chose to surrender direction to your boss at times at work. The whole point here is to create a system where you really know that you're free. Yes, you have a plan, but the plan set you free because you chose it. And if you've got a plan, you're much more likely to be free because you're more likely to achieve it. You're more likely to be successful. I really think planning frees us up. So it's not that the management system doesn't have some structure to it, but the whole purpose is so that you spend your life the way you want to. My second idea is to monitor your time. I'm just stunned at how many people don't know how they spend their day or their week or their month or their year. And no wonder you can't manage it. We can't manage what we can't see. No company, no accountant, no parent in a family would ever manage money without seeing it. I mean, the way you manage your money, of course, you look at your checkbook, you look at your credit card bill, you look at how you spent it. You categorize it, you see where it is, and then you can manage it. Same thing with time. So I'm recommending you chart. You either have a chart and that you fill out every day with where you put your time, or you have a calendar where you write down how you spent your time, or you have like a journal or a log where you write it down. But have it written. Now, Rudolf Steiner has a great exercise. Rudolf Steiner is the man who started the Waldorf schools, and one of his philosophies is, and suggestions is at the end of every day, sometime every day, generally at the end, you take the time to you look back and see if you can remember every 10 minutes of your day. Now, I've tried this before, and in the beginning, it is extraordinarily hard. But I like it so much that I do it. I don't go for 10 minutes, but at least once a day, sometimes once every other day, but generally once a day, I stop and I make a list of everything I did that day. I happen to do it on my computer, and so I can go back and tell you what I did every day for the last years. It's a great way to be able to see how I spent that which is most valuable to me. For 3 years of my life, I actually kept track of every 15-minute increment on a chart. I had a chart divided into all the about 10 different categories of work, and then about 10 different categories of non-work. And every 15 minutes, I put a little tick mark in one of those categories. I don't know if you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm not doing it anymore, so I'm not crazy anymore. Maybe I was crazy. But it was wonderful because every month I could tell you how many hours I slept, how much time I spent eating, how much time I spent in meetings at work, how much time I spent with my wife, everything that was important to me, I kept track of. Major shift in how I spent my life. Now, I realize that most of you aren't going to go that far, but at least have a system where you monitor. Okay, next idea is block out your time, schedule your time, but block out your A priorities first. I know so many people that do block their time, but what they do is they block their lower priorities before they block their higher priorities. Their B priorities, their C priorities. And then they end up with their whole day blocked out or their whole life blocked out, and there's no time for fun. I even recommend you block out time where you don't have anything blocked out. So if flexibility, if spontaneity is important to you, well, then block out time to be spontaneous. Next idea is to, when you respond, because I think responding is good, but when you respond, only respond to top priorities. Set up a system so that the high priority calls get through to you and the high priority emails get responded to. But please don't take time responding to every phone call or every email or every person that happens to come into your space. Because if you do, you'll just be responding and you'll never get to that which is important to you. You'll only be getting to that which is important to others. Next idea is surrender rarely. Rarely surrender your schedule to others. I know that a lot of people who are paid every day say, well, but I've already surrendered my schedule. I've sold it. But I don't think it's as true as we often believe. I think that there are times when even your boss doesn't want you just surrendering. Your boss wants you to use your time the very best way you know how to get the most value for what you're getting paid for. Another strategy, of course, is to be here now, to practice focused attention, to just do what you're doing when you're doing it, to be where you are when you're there, and really notice when you're not, and bring yourself back to the moment. I think when you prioritize your tasks, you're much more likely to do that, and when you prioritize your time. When you block it out and say, I know this is the best use of me, it's a lot easier to just bring your focus back and back and back because you know that this is the thing to be doing. A couple more ideas. Use your best time wisely. We all have preferred times of day. So I say use that for your most important projects. For many of you, your family is your most important project, but you give your family your least valuable time or the time when you're least alert, aware, attentive. So start to move that so that you give your best time to your most important projects. Another one that I know you've all heard, and of course you've all heard all these ideas, I'm just asking you to incorporate them and to start to consciously manage your time, and which is to use your waiting time. Well, that's one of the things I love most about my new iPhone. I'm not here to promote any particular product because there's all kinds of other PDAs that are similar. But I just never waste any time anymore. I have fun with my time, but there's never a time when I'm sitting there bored and thinking, well, geez, I wish I was doing something else because I can always pull out my iPhone and check the weather or read my email or surf the net or look at pictures of my granddaughter. That's what I generally do. Or look at pictures I've taken of my last trip to the museum with my friend Larry, or watch a movie or listen to my favorite music. In other words, use waiting time. But get off the phone. That's my next idea. Even though I just raved about a phone, I'm recommending you don't use it much. You keep the question, the conversation short. Now, well, what if it's a friend and you're just wanting to bond? Okay, keep them long. But get to the point and get off the phone. It's such a time sink. Next idea is to make sure you renegotiate your promises and say no when you mean no. We fill up our life, we fill up our days and our time with promises that really aren't that important. They only became important because we promised. So be careful what you promise, and when you realize you've promised something and now it's not important, go back and renegotiate it or rescind it. Two more ideas, and then I'm going to listen to you, which is have a do not disturb sign. Now, I know some of you don't have an office, but if you have an office, have a do not disturb sign and use it a lot. If you don't have an office, have a do not disturb hat. I got this idea about 20 years ago from a couple that they both worked in the same house, and they just realized there were times they wanted to interact, but there were times they just didn't want to be disturbed. So each one of them had a particular hat. And if they just wanted to be left alone for a while so they could either read the paper in peace or get their work done without interruption, they just put on their Do Not Disturb hat. Last is postpone perfectionism. Perfectionism eats up so much time. So those are some of my ideas about how to monitor your time, how to manage your time, rather, which includes monitoring it. And now what I'd like you to do is to write down what you intend to do differently. In other words, I want you to write down a few intentions about how your new time management system will operate. I'm going to be quiet this time for 60 seconds because I don't think these calls are valuable if you just listen to me. I think the calls are valuable primarily when you take what I say, massage it around, and make it useful for you. Now, I know you do a little of that while I'm talking, but I want you to do it also when I'm not talking so you can write it. So for 60 seconds now, please write down what you intend to do about managing your time. Begin. All right. Please, few of you, raise your hand again, *61. I'd like to know what you plan to put into practice. Maybe it's that you realize how much you overcommit. My coworker Bill and I always talk about the x2 button, which is that whatever we estimate something's going to take, we just hit the button and say x2, and that helps with that overcommitment. Please say your name and then whatever your commitment is. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave. It's Terry.
Hi, Terry.
It's in L.A. Well, the first thing I wrote down, and I don't know, you might have even said this while it was a little blocked out, but the first thing I wrote down was obligations, limit them. And
yeah.
Number two, find what attracted me to the task that has become an obligation and try to focus on that. In other words, the passion that brought me to the job that then becomes an obligation. I kind of realized that one in the first task we were doing right then, you know, when we, our current system, I realized that, you know, my intentions might be well intended, but they turn into obligations. So the next thing I wrote was renegotiate. So that's kind of where I am.
That's great. Yeah. Just those changes alone will make a big difference. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Next person, go ahead.
Hi, Dave. This is Susan Hayward.
Hi, Susan.
I wrote down two things. One, I intend to figure out my best times of day, which I think I know, but then specifically match them to my most important projects or people that I want to spend time with. And secondly, I intend to use a do not disturb sign and hat, depending on, you know, like the sign for my work when I'm in my office, and then the hat when I'm just in the house and other people are around, and I don't want to have 20 interruptions.
Right.
I guess. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Now, I'm calling a couple other people, and one thing that I want to just encourage you all to do is to write down that you intend to monitor your time. And if you don't want to do it as detailed as I did, maybe just follow that Rudolf Steiner idea. And when you lay down to sleep, step back in your day and remember how you spent it. Go ahead. Just took somebody off mute. Go ahead.
Dave, I think this is Karen. Can you hear me?
I can, Karen, yeah.
Okay, great. I intend to be more careful making promises, and I intend to rescind promises and not feel bad about it.
Great. Yeah, because what you're really after is contributing to people. And if you do that out of some deep obligation, I don't think you're going to contribute much. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Go ahead, next person.
Yeah, hi, Dave. This is Faye.
Hi, Faye.
Hi. I notice I intend three things. First, I want to appreciate how well my schedule and my time management works. I just want to appreciate how well it works.
Yeah.
And then from there, there are some obligations that I intend to complete with integrity. That was the second thing I saw. And the third is lovely. I'm going to make time my friend.
Good. Yeah. Yes. Thanks, Faye. And the whole idea is to have time be your friend. And not to use it for too many obligations. But sometimes we do have some obligations. And when that occurs, complete them with integrity by either renegotiating or telling people that they're at risk. And then don't make so many so that you don't have that situation of being bounded by something that's not your pleasure. Okay, now I want to step into task management. And remembering that the idea now is you create a new system of managing your time and test it and return and do it again. Task management. Step one, notice how you're now managing your tasks. And just like with time, there's different methods, but I want to call them out a little differently. First of all, of course, there's the react, because a lot of you just choose whatever shows up to do. How you know what to do is you just, something shows up and you do it. And then something else shows up and you do that. Or again, just like with time, you take directions from others. You just do what people tell you to do. Or, for many of you, probably for most of you on this call, you make a list of tasks. Bill Zilke emailed me. He's listening, and he emailed me how he manages his time. And one, what he said was he prioritizes his tasks. Well, that's a good idea. In other words, most of you on this call are busy people, so you have some kind of a list. Now, sometimes that list is not very thoughtfully created. What I'm recommending, of course, is that you very thoughtfully create that list. You write down everything, but then you review it. Because many times what people do is they write down everything, and then they just pick what's most urgent. Or they just pick what's most fun. Or they pick what's most important. And, of course, that's what you want to pick. You want to pick what's most important to you. And it might be what's most fun, and maybe sometimes it's what's most urgent. But the idea is, do you thoughtfully choose from that list? And then the next thing I'll ask is, where do you have your list of tasks? Is it on a sheet of paper that you recopy over and over again? Is it on lots of sheets of paper? Is it on sheets of paper in lots of locations? Is it on your computer? Is it on 3x5 cards? That's where I'd like it to be. Is it on a whole bunch of 3x5 cards in lots of locations? Or is it on your computer and some on sheets of paper and some on cards and some on post-it notes? I'm just going to stop again for 45 seconds while you reflect and jot down how you now keep track of all the tasks that you have to do. Please write. I'd like to hear from a couple of you. Let me know. Raise your hand, *61. Tell me what you discovered as you thought about that and wrote about it. How are you now managing your tasks? What's your system? What were you surprised by, maybe?
Dave?
Go ahead.
Bill Zilke here.
Hi, Bill.
Not too surprisingly, I use 3x5 cards.
Well, I was hoping you did after all this time of being in my workshop all those times.
Yeah, I mean, I love I keep the cards. I have my tasks, and then I break down those tasks into smaller doable chunks, and then I put the chunks in the time frames that I want to get them done in, And, of course, the cards are great because sometimes I assume that the chunk will be done in a certain amount of time and it takes less than that, and I can just go to the next card, or sometimes it takes too much and I have to give it a new time. And so you can play with the cards as the time ebbs and flows with the task, because sometimes I find that I'm not clear about what the task takes until I'm in the midst of it.
Yeah. Very good. And that's the idea of you want a time management system that is very flexible and a task management system that you can just skip from one to the next and be able to return even though it took more time than you thought. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
I can.
This is Jean in Mystic, California, and I realize I really need this class. I use a master to-do list, and then I create a daily to-do list from that master. But many times I will ignore both lists, and I just go with whatever comes in the door or what I feel is most urgent at the time. So sometimes things that are really important to me don't get done. So I really like the idea of maybe doing 3x5 cards that would just be easier to manage.
Yes. Thanks. Well, let me talk about those 3x5 cards that you just mentioned and that Bill says he uses, because the reason that I like to write my tasks on 3x5 cards instead of a list or even instead of my computer is that once I write it one time, I never have to rewrite it. For a long time, I used to use a list, but I constantly was rewriting the list. And with the 3x5 card, I just take and right in the middle of that card, I write down what it is that I want to get done. Now, I know that a lot of you have read my book, Creating Your Future or Falling Awake. You've been to workshops where I've talked about using 3x5 cards to create long-range visions and future plans. Well, the process of using them to manage your tasks is very similar. But instead of writing big picture goals and dreams and wishes on those cards, you write down just little piddly things that you're going to get done, that you want to get done, that you've told somebody you're going to get done. And you put only one per card. Now, the reason you only put one per card is so that you can sort your cards easily, so that you can take all your cards that have to do with work and put them in one pile, because you're probably going to do those when you go to work. But then you take your cards that have to do with not work and you put them in a different pile. You take your cards that have high priority and you put them in one pile. And then you take those cards that you'd probably do if you weren't being thoughtful and you put them in another pile called to do when I have time to do something that's not very important. I've got so many cards in those piles. I've got a big pile of cards at home, which I'll get to someday when I've got time, but I know they're not very important. And every once in a while, I look through them, and I'll find a few that need to now be moved up to important. But just having had written it down and know that, well, I might get to it someday, it's such wonderful procrastination. I've got another card stack at work, which is to get to when I feel like doing something, but I don't have anything else to do. And then I can look through those cards. I can take whatever one. But those are the C priority cards. Go back to the idea. And, of course, all these ideas, they can apply. You could put them in your computer, too, and sort them and prioritize them and categorize them. But I've tried that many times, and I've never found a computer program that works well. I have a master's degree in computer science. I use my computer constantly, but I've never found a way to manage the day-to-day tasks on my computer, mostly because I don't have my computer with me all the time. And it's so hard to, so easy to write on a 3x5 card and so hard to type in that same thing on my computer, particularly if I've just got that little handheld PDA with me. So I just carry cards everywhere, have them everywhere, and any time I have something I want to accomplish, I write it on a card. Only one per card. And then on that same card, put down the priority. In the upper right-hand corner of the card, write down how important it is to you, A, B, or C. And then, of course, work your A's off. Focus on your A's. And avoid C fever. So many of us spend a tremendous amount of time, tremendous amount of energy accomplishing tasks that really aren't that important. So once you've written all the tasks that you're going to accomplish on the cards, then prioritize them. Take the time to do that. And then focus on the A's. And once you get all the A's done, then reprioritize the B's and see which ones are A's. But don't spend time on B and C priorities. And then in the upper left-hand corner of the card, put down the timeline, like by when you want to accomplish it. In the lower left-hand corner of the card, put down the category, what project does this task belong to? Is this work, non-work? At work, is it project A, B, or C? So that you can quickly sort all your tasks that have to do with a particular project. In the lower right-hand corner of the card, write down who's going to help you accomplish this. Your partner or your partners. That way you can very quickly sort through the cards and find the ones that have to do with the person you're going to meet with in a moment or that you're meeting with right now. Now, I'm also recommending on these cards that you manage not just your tasks, which are what you want to do, but you also write on these cards and you manage the results that you want to produce. In other words, what you want to have. And also on these cards, and just as importantly, you write down one card per value. What are your most important values? What's most important to you? So that now your task management system is expanded beyond just tasks, just to-dos. It's also listing your results, the circumstances you want to accomplish, what you want to have, in other words. And most importantly, you're writing down your values, synonym ways of being, or your attitudes, who you want to be. A few more ideas here, and then is to plan your day the night before. Plan tomorrow tonight. And plan next week this week. So at the end of this week, plan next week. At the end of tonight, plan tomorrow. At the end of the month, plan the next month. And for sure, at the end of the year, plan the entire year. Now, I know now we're talking about long-range visioning when you're planning the entire year, but so bringing us back to task management is at the end of the day, pull out the tasks that you're going to accomplish for tomorrow. I just did this, by the way. I know it's not quite the end of my day, but at the end of this call, I'm going off to home. So before this call, what I did is I took all my 3x5 cards. They're spread out on a little shelf above my desk, and I went through them. These are the ones that I had set out for this week, and I picked out the ones that I'm going to do tomorrow. So I'm going home, letting my biocomputer know that that's what my job is for tomorrow. My next idea is to keep in front of you only that which you're working on. So put the pile in a file. You got a pile, sort it out and put it in files. You can use Pendo files. Say, oh, yeah, but my pile's too big. Well, divide your pile. Or if it all really has one pile, then get one of those box-bottom Pendos. My friend Dwayne Elgin doesn't have Pendos. He just got a wall of boxes that are 9 inches by 12 inches deep by 3 inches tall, and he files everything, all his projects, into that wall of boxes. He's got like 200 boxes on the wall. But the point is, only have in front of you what you're working on and get rid of all those other piles. My last idea for today is to follow what Faye mentioned a minute ago, which is to celebrate. Celebrate your time, and I'm recommending that you celebrate that you'll never have enough of it, and you'll never get done all there is to do. I know people complain about it all the time. I hear people constantly say, oh, I'm never going to get everything done. Say, hooray for you. You've got so many tasks. Well, but I'm never even going to get the A priorities done. Well, then double hooray for you. Because you are someone who has taken on so much. You have such a rich life that you cannot possibly get to it all. No reason to complain about that. I say celebrate that. Celebrate that your life is so full of wonderful opportunity that you'll never get to them all. But I only want to get done what I need to get done, people say. But I just need to get it done. Well, I think when you need to get something done, you've got way too much obligation in life. So please, up-level your obligations. Move yourself from need to want, or need to maybe. Move yourself from have to might. Move yourself from must to joy, so that you are managing your tasks from an internal locus of control. You're choosing. Now, I'd like to end where we did the time management, which is giving you a minute now to write down of all these ideas, what are you going to bring into your task management system? Now, you may not bring 3x5 cards, or you might. You might, I don't know. No, I've talked for years to my wife about using 3x5 cards. She's been to every one of my workshops. She and I teach together, and she doesn't use 3x5 cards. She takes old paper and cuts it up so she's got like 2.5x7 cards. And then she, right after that, it's like a 3.25x6 card. And then they're all different shapes. I don't know how she does it. So now I want to hear from you. But first, 1 minute for you to think and write. How are you going to manage your tasks differently? Begin. That's a minute. I'd like to hear from a couple of you. What ideas do you have about how you can manage your tasks more effectively? What will you do differently? It's *61. Here are a couple of ideas. And I've got one more before we stop. I'd like to hear from you first. Right. Go ahead. Say your name and your idea.
Hi, Dave. Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I just want to make a plug for doing a comprehensive collection of data around your time. I think your idea of taking 10 categories and monitoring exactly how you spend your time over an extended period of time, maybe a year or two. It's just amazing how much better I'm able to use my time with that data. I see where I'm spending time where it's just not well leveraged, and I can therefore distinguish where I am spending time that is right on purpose given my highest priorities. So without being able to see it like you suggested, it's really hard to manage it effectively.
Thanks, Bill. And what Bill mentioned is that, you know, you could do it over a year, but even if you just do it over a month, I think you'll be shocked at what you find. One more comment, and I want to give you one more idea before we stop.
Dave, Pete Chandonnet.
Hi, Pete.
I love the idea of celebrating the number of tasks that I'm not able to get done, and those are A priorities. I've never heard that, and I think I stopped myself from taking on more, and I think this allows me to take on even more.
Yeah, that's right, because if you're always kind of kicking yourself in the butt when you don't get things done and you have too much to do, pretty soon you're going to stop looking for what's the most important thing to do. Yeah, and Bill Zilke he emailed me and said, I will spend a few minutes at the end of every workday reviewing my time use. And I will do the same at the end of every night regarding my time at home, after work, and before bed. And I will spend time creating a list of priorities for my home time and evaluate my time to see if it reflects my actual priorities. Thanks, Bill, and thanks all of you that wrote. And if you didn't write them to me like Bill did, I would love to hear from you just so I know how effective this is. My last idea is that you constantly ask yourself, what is the end result of what you're doing? What is the end result? What end result are you wanting to produce from what you're doing? either from the time you're spending or the task. I ask this question, I'll bet, out loud, literally a dozen times a day. When I'm working, out loud I say, either to the person I'm working with or to myself, let's see, what am I doing right now? And I trace back the purpose of what I'm doing. And if I can't trace it back to something that's important to me, I stop doing it. But it brings me back to the reason that I'm doing whatever I'm doing or the reason I'm spending whatever time I'm spending. It's a way to really stay focused. I want to remind you that are coming to the workshop that we have another call like this in a week from now. I want to also mention to all of you that if you think that you or family or friends might be interested in our leadership training in 2 weeks, please have them call Joanne Bangs, 605-390-2275. And also I'll talk to a few of you who are going to come to the training again next Monday at this same time. And those of you who signed up for the telecourse and aren't coming to the training, I want to thank you. Just a pleasure to hear from you. It was just a scream to prepare to speak with you, and I really thank you for your time and for your commitment to be a more effective leader in every area, more effective leader in how you communicate with people, a more effective leader in how you motivate people, and a more effective leader in how you manage your time. Thank you, and look forward to visiting with all of you again. I'll do another one of these series, and I'll let you know when it is. For now, good night.